people refreshed by the Lord. I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to start with verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." A people refreshed by the Lord. Looking at Isaiah chapter 58, let's pray. Father, I'm just asking you, Lord, with the same sincerity of heart, God, that you have spoken into my life, that you have ministered to my heart through this passage of Scripture. God, I pray that sincerity of heart, Lord, would just be conveyed through this vessel, God. Lord, this week, Lord, the last 2 weeks, God, you have allowed me to share in something upon your heart. And God, in simplicity, you've called me to speak this word. And God, I'm just asking, Lord, that it would touch our hearts, God, and we would hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. God, we are completely dependent upon you. I am dependent upon you to deliver this word. And my brothers and sisters are dependent upon you to hear the word of the Lord with the heart and the mind of the Lord. And Father, everything that you do in our life and through this church, Lord, we just give you all honor and we give you all glory. Lord, and Father, I believe this morning there are people that need to be refreshed. God, they need to be refreshed. There are people that are just in a place of weakness. God, a people. God, maybe the battles have been long and there's just a weariness. And Father, you've spoken to me, Lord, that if we will in tune our hearts to hear this word, God, you are going to refresh your people. And Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness and your goodness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Over the last couple of weeks, the Lord has really been stirring my heart to seek His direction for our church, to seek His vision for our church. And when I'm talking about our church, I'm talking about Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. It's just really been on my heart to seek the Lord's mind and to seek the Lord's heart. Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, we are a fairly young church, and God has been establishing us as a church. And I believe anyone that has been a part of this church for any amount of time can testify that we have been a very blessed people, that God has blessed us with the richness of His presence. We have had some very good services where the Lord has come and He's really refreshed our hearts, and the Lord has drawn us into a place of intimacy with Himself. The Lord has given us many words about intimacy and about hungering for the Lord. And His word has found a place in our hearts. And we have sought God with all of our hearts. There's just a hunger in our hearts for the Lord. And we've been seeking the Lord, not just opening His word when we come to church on Sunday, but there's just been something in our heart that has made this place of seeking the Lord a place in our life. Every day of the week, seeking the Lord. God has been doing wonderful things in our hearts. He's been working in our hearts, and He's been conforming us to the image of Christ. And we're so very grateful for everything that the Lord is doing. But I've just felt a stirring in my heart to seek the direction of the Lord. I feel like the Lord has a direction, and there's a vision for our church. And I've been just been getting before the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, we've been having some blessed services and you're establishing us, but I feel you have a direction, Lord, and where are we going? And I believe the Lord has put that in my heart, that there are people here who have come, and that has been a question in your heart. God, where are we going? God, where is our church going? Where is the direction of our church going? And you can agree, you know, Lord, you've been blessing our services, and we've been having good services, and Lord, you've done an awesome work in my life and my heart. But Lord, I just want to know, where are we going? What is the direction? Is there a direction? Is there somewhere that you're leading us to? Over the past couple of weeks, I've really felt inspired by the Lord to get into Isaiah chapter 58 and to just meditate upon Isaiah chapter 58. The particular passages of Scripture that we just read, 6 through 11, it's about a people who are moving with the heart of the Lord. And it's about the wonderful blessings that is poured out upon a people that are moving with the heart of the Lord. You see this here. The Lord shares His heart with His people. And then the second part that we read, the Lord begins to share the blessings that are poured out upon a church that is truly moving with the heart of the Lord. Now I just want to read Isaiah 58 again. I want to look at verse 6 and verse 7. The Lord says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Brothers and sisters, when we look at this verse, God is really bearing His heart here. If we have ears to hear it, we can hear the heart of the Lord, that the Lord has such a concern for people who are suffering all through the world. Brothers and sisters, people in our societies that we live in our towns that we live in our nation that we live in, all over the world, there are people who are suffering and who have dire need. And God is revealing His burden here. He really has a burden for people who are suffering throughout the world. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord talks about those who are in bondage. He talks about hunger and starvation. He talks about poverty. He talks about horrendous needs that people have. And God has a genuine concern upon God's heart. And in prayer, as I was just reading this week in prayer, this is what gripped my heart. That God has such a concern for people all over the world who are suffering. And this is what I begin to pray. I begin to pray, Lord, what is our part? As a church, I know we're very few in number as a church, but Lord, what is our part? Do we have a part to play in this? And the Lord began to speak something into my heart very simply, and I'm going to share that with you at the end of the message. I'm going to share what I really sense the Lord speaking at the end of the message. But before I do that, I just want to look at Isaiah chapter 58. Look at these verses that we read. First of all, we see in verse 6 that the Lord speaks about people who are in captivity and setting them free. Let's look at verse 6, Isaiah 58, verse 6. The Lord says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? So the Lord is talking about freeing the captives. But what I want us to understand is the Lord is not talking about freeing the captives in the way that we usually think about freeing the captives. In this particular passage of Scripture, the Lord's not talking about going out and ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and talking to captives and setting them free with the power of the gospel and destroying the works of the enemy and setting people free. That is not really what the Lord's talking about here. It has a place, but that's not what really the Lord's talking about here. See, when you read the book of Isaiah, you will find out that the children of Israel, the people of Israel, had a history of oppressing their own people. The children of Israel had a history of exploiting the needs of their own people for their own advantage. And let me just read you some scriptures here just to bear this out. Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, "Wash you," talking to His people, "make you clean, Cease to do evil, learn to do well, relieve the oppressed, plead for the widows. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, the Lord says, the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of His people. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean you that you beat my people in pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, the Lord says, He looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness in His people, but behold a cry. Isaiah chapter 10, 1 and 2 says, woe unto them that declare unrighteous decrees, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people. The widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. So we see clearly in these scriptures that the children of Israel had a history of oppressing their own people, of exploiting the needs of their own people for their own gain. So in Isaiah chapter 58, what the Lord is saying is, He's saying, you need to set free those you yourself are holding in captivity. The ones that you are holding in captivity. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? That you would free your captives is what the Lord is speaking. Well, immediately we would say, but New Testament believers, we don't do this. We don't hold people into captivity. We don't put people into prison houses. We don't keep people living under oppression. But we do. We keep people in prison houses of resentment. We can keep people in prison houses of unforgiveness. We can keep people in prison houses of continuing to harbor a grudge. So as New Testament believers, we can hold people in captivity. I heard a testimony not long ago from a dear brother in the Lord. Let me just give you just a couple of examples. And this dear brother in the Lord talked about how his mother remarried a man. And he talked about how his siblings, they just despise this man in their heart who their mother married. He said, I did the same thing. I treated this man like he was dirt. But the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord began to say, you are the only one in your household who's saved. You are the only one in your household who has the life of Christ. Are you not supposed to be different? Holding people in captivity. I know two sisters right now, they're sisters, and they both go to church, and very faithful to church, but they're so envious toward their brother, and they're constantly criticizing him, and finding fault with him, and harassing him, holding him in captivity. As New Testament believers, we can hold people in captivity, and the Lord is saying, is this not the fast that I've chosen? The Lord is saying, before you even attempt to go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to move in the anointing and set people free, you need to search your own heart and find out who you may be holding in captivity, and you need to release them. This is what the Lord is speaking. He's talking to His people. And the word that I keep getting over and over again is simply this from the Lord, very simply, who have we wounded with our words? Is there anyone that we have wounded with our words? The Lord is saying it doesn't take but one sincere apology to open that prison door of pain. The Lord says this is the fast that I've chosen. That before you begin to try to set others free with the power of the gospel, you set your own captives free. Then the Lord begins to go on. Let's look at this. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? So the Lord is talking about hunger here. He's talking about starvation here. And we know that there is a spiritual hunger in the heart of every man and woman. We know that. But in this particular scripture, the Lord is talking about literal, physical hunger. And let me just read a few things to you, some things that I found just doing some research. The World Health Organization estimates that one-third of the world is starving. Every 3 seconds, one person dies of starvation. It says every year, 15 million children starve to death in the world. Every year, 15 million children starve to death in our world. In America, 1 out of 8 children go to bed hungry every night. Now, first of all, what I want to say is this. We can look at these statistics. We can really look at these statistics. We can go on the internet and we can look at pictures of starving children And sometimes, you know, I have done that, just going through this, and sometimes you can just be so overwhelmed by the need. But brothers and sisters, I really sense the Lord is saying, as a church, we don't have to be overwhelmed by the need, because He's not calling us, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, to meet the need of the entire world. That's absolutely impossible. But yet, there is a part that we can play. There are needs that we can meet. There's a place that we can have in this fast that God has chosen. And that has been so heavy upon my heart. And I've been praying, Lord, what is our part? What is the part that we play? And again, I'll share with you when I feel the Lord has spoken. But I just want to look at this. It says in verse 7, the Lord says, the fast that I have chosen is that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house. So the Lord's speaking about poverty here. Just give you something else. In the Asian, African, and Latin American countries, well over 500 million people are living in what the World Bank calls absolute poverty. 33 million Americans live in households that do not have adequate food supply. Beloved, again, the world is full of so many people who have so many dire needs. And when you really look at Isaiah 58, just don't read through it, but you allow the Lord to speak to your heart. God's heart is so concerned about the needs that people have, about the suffering that people have. And again, I've been really seeking the Lord. Father, I feel like this is your direction. This is a direction that you're calling your people to. And God, what is our part in this vision? What is our part that we play in this? Now the Lord talks about, in Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7, He talks about His burden. He talks about the things that are on His heart. But then the Lord begins to talk about the wonderful blessings upon a church that is moving with His heart. He says that when you have my heart and you're moving with my heart and you're beginning to minister with my heart, there are some wonderful blessings that are going to be poured out upon that church. And I want to look at them. First of all, look at verse 8. The Lord says, we're going to break this down. The Lord says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And this speaks to me a wonderful truth. And that wonderful truth is simply this, that when God's people are moving with God's heart, they are going to be filled with the life of God. They're going to be filled with the very life of God. See, we're asking the question, what is the light? John 1:4 defines the light. John 1 verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light. So the light is the very life of Jesus Christ. Going through the Bible, it talks a lot about light. But you can clearly define that light with the life of Jesus Christ. Whenever it's talking about light, it's talking about the life that is in Jesus Christ. So the Lord is saying here, a people that is moving with my heart, they are going to be filled with the very life of Christ. Now, beloved, understand, the only thing that qualifies a church to be a church is life. Christ is alive in that church. His life is there. It is not our giftings and our abilities that qualify us to be a church, but it is the truth that in everything that we do, Christ's life is filling it. When we pray, there is life. When we worship together, there is life. When we preach, there is life. When we testify, there is life. And it is only this life that is going to minister to the needs of others. The only thing that makes a church the church and qualifies a church to be a church is that the resurrected presence of Jesus Christ is there. That's the only thing that qualifies a church to be the church. If His life is not there, He is not there. But the Lord says, when you're walking in intimacy and you're beginning to move with my heart, I will fill you with my life. And brothers and sisters, wherever the light shines, it dispels darkness. Wherever that light shines. Verse 8 again says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Shall break forth as the morning. Shining light in the darkness. I heard a man of God once say before, he said, you don't have to shout at darkness to dispel darkness. All you have to do is shine a light into the darkness. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. It's light that dispels darkness. Dispelling darkness, it doesn't depend upon how loud we can shout at darkness. Shouting at darkness doesn't dispel darkness. It depends upon how bright a light we're able to shine into the darkness. And the Lord says, when you are walking in intimacy with me and moving with my heart, I will fill you with my life. And wherever there's my life, it will dispel darkness. It's not how loud we can shout at the darkness that dispels darkness. It is how bright a light we can shine into it. That's what dispels darkness. Verse 8, look at verse 8. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And he says, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. The Lord here is talking to a sick church. If you look at the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 15, he's talking to a sick church is what he's talking to. He's talking to a church that's weak. He's talking to a church that's feeble. He's talking to a church that's anemic. He's talking to a church that's ineffectual, that's depleted, that's powerless. But what God is doing is he's making a great promise and he's declaring a great truth. The Lord is saying, when you begin to move according to my heart, your strength in the Lord is going to come back. Your boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to come back. The power of God is going to fill your lives and your church and your ministry, and lives are going to be changed and transformed when you're moving with my heart. He says, your health shall return speedily. He's talking to a sick church and he's telling them the remedy. He's telling them the cure. Begin to seek my heart. Begin to seek the fast that I've chosen. And as you begin to seek the fast that I've chosen and begin to move with my heart, your health is going to return speedily. You're going to find your power. You're going to find your joy. You're going to find your strength. You're going to find your boldness when you're moving with my heart. Look at verse 9. I'm just walking through these. Verse 9 says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. He's talking about wonderfully answered prayers. Brothers and sisters, is this not the burning passion of our heart? That God would answer our prayers. Is this not the burning passion of our hearts? That when we pray, we would see the answer to our prayers. And God is saying, when you are moving according to my heart, and you're moving according to my will, and you're moving according to the things that concern my heart, when you pray, I will answer those prayers. I won't hide from you. I won't be a stranger. When you pray, I will say, here I am, here I am. Look at verse 10. It says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Now, I really like this. That word obscurity, when you look it up, it's a Hebrew word, and it actually means sorrow. And that word darkness actually means, in the original Hebrew language, it means gloom. So I believe with all my heart, the Lord is talking about depression here. Gloom, sorrow. The Lord is saying your gloom will become like midday when the light is shining in its full strength. And I want to ask us a question this morning. This is the question that I want to ask us. How is the gloom factor in our lives? Are we gloomy? Is our church gloomy? Is our lives under, and our church under, a cloud of gloom? Brothers and sisters, there are many churches you can walk into and you can just feel the heaviness. You can feel the oppression. You can feel everyone is depressed. I have been there. I have sensed that. And I'm not trying to sound critical, but I want to be honest with you. That is not the testimony that I desire Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit to have. I know we are in a warfare, but there is a victory in Christ. And the desire of my heart is that our sanctuary would be full of life. It would be full of power. It would be full of anointing. It would be full of people who are walking in victory in the Lord. A people who are walking in the strength of the Lord. And the Lord is saying here, when you are moving with my heart, and you're moving according to the things that concern my heart, the Lord is saying your gloom will become like the midday. I will remove that gloom. I will remove that cloud when you're moving with my heart. Wonderful promises here. Look at verse 11. I just want to look at a couple more. Look at verse 11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. And brothers and sisters, this really spoke to my heart, because this is what I have been praying for 2 weeks with all of my heart. God, we need to hear your voice. Lord, we need your direction. Lord, we need to know which way you're moving. The Lord says, when you are moving according to the things that are on my heart, the Lord is saying, I will give you clear direction. The Lord is saying, you do not have to try to hear my voice. You do not have to try to guess what my will is and guess what my direction is. When you're moving with my heart, the Lord is saying, I will show you clearly where I'm going. I will show you clearly my direction. And that speaks so much to my heart, because that has really been on my heart to seek the Lord about this. God, as a church, where are we going? Now, this is what caught my attention. I just want to look at verse 11 and just look at the very last part of verse 11. The Lord says, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. In other words, what that speaks to me is God's people shall continually know the refreshing of the Lord. God's people will know the refreshing of the Lord, that there'll be a refreshed people. And I really sense in my heart that there are people here this morning that just need to be refreshed. There are people here this morning that just need to be strengthened in the Lord. Maybe you're weary from the battles, or you've been in the trials a long time. And the Lord wants to refresh you. He wants to strengthen you. And I really believe this morning that God has touched His people this morning in our time of worship. But the Lord wants to continue to refresh His people. And I really sense what God is saying is this: if you let me begin to lead you according to what is in my heart, there is a joy you are going to find that's going to replenish your strength and refresh and revive your heart as we really begin to just seek the direction of the Lord and begin to move according to the Lord's heart this morning. Now, we looked at the burden of the heart of the Lord. We saw very clearly, if we can hear it this morning in our hearts, that God has a deep concern with the suffering of our world, so many people who are suffering. And we saw the wonderful blessings that God pours out upon a people that are moving with His heart. So now I just want to ask the question, well, what is God speaking specifically to Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit? I see His burden, and I see these wonderful blessings, but what is He speaking specifically to this body? What is our part? It's going to be very simple, but I know I've heard the Lord on this, and this is our part. The Lord put upon my heart that at this time He's not looking for a feeding program, and He's not looking for a clothing ministry, and He's not looking for things like that. But what the Lord is looking for is a people at this time who will just take the time to talk to other people. Very simple. He's looking for a people who at this time will just make themselves available and open their hearts up to talk to people who are lonely, talk to people who are neglected. And the Lord has given me His word. He's given me His promise that if we will just take this very small step of obedience and just begin to make ourselves available, begin to pray, Lord, is there someone that You want me to speak to today? Is there someone that You would like me to visit today? Is there someone that You would like me to write today? Just make ourselves available to take the time to begin to reach out to lonely people, neglected people. The Lord has told me, Tim, if you will begin to move in that direction, I will begin to open doors. I'll begin to open doors of other ministry. And I will clearly lead you, and I will clearly guide you, and you'll know what part that you have to, what part you play in this, because I can take a few loaves of fishes and I can multiply it 100 times over and I can feed hungry people. But this is where it begins. This is a step that I'm asking you to do, just to make yourself available to people who are lonely, who are neglected, who are hurting. Just make yourself available. Make your time available. I find out sometimes the hardest thing to sacrifice is our time. Be so protective of our time. And the Lord says, if you'll just make yourself available, you don't have to go looking. I know where the hearts are, and I can put them on your heart, or I can bring them to you. And if you'll just take this small step of obedience and begin moving in that direction, I'll open other doors. And I'll continue to lead, and I'll continue to guide you. I want to share a scripture with you. I want to end with this scripture. Not a long message this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear Your heart this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. And David said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent him and fetched him out of the house. Let's just stop there. Let me just explain. It's very simple. The one thing I really love about David's heart is when you look at David's heart, David truly understood the kindness of the Lord. There are four places in 2 Samuel where David says, is there someone that I can show the kindness of the Lord to? He so knew the kindness of God, and it was so in his heart to reveal that kindness. And here David says something powerful. David says, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of the Lord to? And the Bible says that out of that cry, God brought to him a broken man named Mephibosheth. God brought a man who was lame on his feet, and if you read his story, he was really a broken man. And brothers and sisters, this is the scripture that the Lord had really put upon my heart. The Lord is saying that if we will just begin to walk before God with this cry in our hearts, this cry, today, Lord, is there someone who needs to be touched by your kindness? Today, Lord, is there someone you want me to call or you want me to visit or you want me to write a letter to? Today, Lord, is there someone you want to put before me who just needs to encounter your tenderness and your kindness? Is there somebody today, Lord, that you just want to use me to minister the kindness of the Lord to? Lord, I am available. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you in my own life and testimony, this is an amazing prayer. Every time God has stirred my heart to pray this prayer, it has never failed. He has always put somebody before me whose life was impacted by the kindness of God. I remember sitting in an airport one time, just sitting there waiting for my plane. And this cry just began to get a hold of my heart, and I began to speak, God, Lord, is there anybody on this airplane who just needs to encounter the kindness of the Lord today? I just felt that on my heart, and when I got up and went to the plane, I sat down in the plane, and I sat down right next to a little girl. She was about 9 years old, and I'll never forget it. She had her jacket over her head, and I could tell that she was crying. And I sensed the Lord speak to me and say, Tim, after she's through crying, I just want you to begin talking to her. She needs to know my kindness. And after she got through crying, I asked her, is there anything that, are you okay? Or what's going on? Not being nosy, just being led by the Lord. And she told me that her mother and father had gotten a divorce, and she was leaving her mother to go live with her father, and her heart was just very broken. And the Lord just began to minister to this child through my life. And I say that very humbly. I'm so grateful to the Lord for it. And before the plane trip was over, she was all laughing and she's smiling and giggling. She had this little teddy bear and she's hitting me in the head with it, you know. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is a very powerful prayer when you pray it with God's heart. Because there are so many people God wants to touch with His kindness. So many people. I just want to add this. Sometimes it's not in the small things. Sometimes God will put something big on your heart. And I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm talking about just being willing to be obedient to the Lord and love the Lord. The last time me and my wife kneeled it together in prayer and we prayed this prayer, God, is there anyone that you want us to touch with your kindness? The answer to that prayer was the Lord brought little Dimir into our lives. That was the answer to the prayer. The Lord brought this young man, this young boy into our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. He's such a blessing to our lives. We are seeing God transform him, doing miracles. I just want to share this, and I share this in all humility. Yesterday, I said, Dimir, I made you a bologna sandwich. Will you please say a prayer? And Dimir put his hands together, and he said, Lord, he said, when I grow up, I want to be just like my daddy. He says, I want to pray a lot. I don't want to watch much TV, and I want to care about people. Brothers and sisters, having that little boy in my house for 4 months, that's a pretty big testimony of what God is doing in his heart. What am I saying? I'm saying God's not asking us to do big things. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. Oh, I'm afraid to pray this prayer because now I might have to go. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying having a heart every day to just make this small step of obedience. God, is there somebody today you want to minister to with your kindness? God, I'm available. And the Lord is speaking to our church. He's saying, if you will start with that small little act of obedience, as you walk in that, I will open doors. And you will find your part in the fast that I have chosen. The fast that God has chosen is our neighbor across the street. who may need a bag of groceries. Just having a heart to hear what is on God's heart. That's the fast that God has chosen. Stand with me this morning. Before I give an altar call, just take a moment just to think about what I said. God truly is concerned for people who are suffering, people across our world who are suffering, people across our street who are suffering, people who are across town who are suffering, people who are in Peru who are suffering. And His desire is to meet that need of their heart and their life and to use His people. And hopefully that the goodness of God would bring men to repentance. And my altar call is just very simple this morning. Lord, I make myself available to You. It's going to be a two-part altar call. Lord, I make myself available to You however You want to use my life. Again, I believe there are people who just need to be refreshed in their spirit, and God is just ready to come and refresh your heart as you just come into agreement with His heart. God, I know there are so many concerns upon your heart. And Lord, I don't want to be a selfish man. I don't want to be a selfish woman, God. I want to live for the glory of Christ, and I want to live for the burden of Christ. And God, one more time, I just commit myself to You, and I make myself available to You. And brothers, sisters, if you would just begin to pray with me again, Lord, we really need Your direction. Lord, would You just continually guide us? Brothers and sisters, just going to make this very simple. If you have heard God's word speak to your heart today, would you just come to these altars this morning and just begin to pray? God, as a church, show us, Lord, what it is that we can do. Lord, we're not looking for big things. God, the small things. God, just show us what it is that we can do. God, lead us. Let us move with Your heart. Let us move with Your direction. Let us move with the things that are upon Your heart, God. And God, guide us, Lord. We are asking for Your guidance, God. We are asking that You would begin to move us, Lord, according to what is in Your heart. Father, we thank You for intimacy. We thank You for the work that You're doing in our heart. But God, we want to minister, Lord. We were few in number, but God, our hearts are hungry to minister. And God, we're just asking You to lead us and guide us as a church. So just right where you're at in the altar or in your seat, just begin to speak to the Lord and say, God, what is my part? Lord, what is my part? Show me, Lord. I make myself available to You, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that as we bring our hearts before You, Lord, I pray You would refresh Your people, God. God, as we come again to the altar and commit our hearts before You, God, and one more time, God, begin to move in what's upon Your heart, God, I pray that You would begin to refresh Your people. God, I pray right now Your presence would begin to touch Your people. Lord, You said that when we have a heart to move with Your heart, God, we're going to be like a well-watered garden. Not only are we going to be fruitful, but God, we're going to be refreshed. God. And Father, I ask right now that You would begin to remove heavy burdens. I ask right now that You would begin to strengthen the weak. God, I ask right now that You would begin to speak light and hope into discouraged hearts. God, I just ask right now that You would begin to move the cloud of obscurity from off of lives, off of souls. And that God, our light would begin to break forth as the morning, as the midday sun. God, I just pray Your refreshing upon Your people. Father, I pray that this coming week, God, as we just begin to walk with that prayer in our heart, God, is there anyone that I can just show the kindness of the Lord to? Is there just someone that You want to use my life to minister the kindness of the Lord to? God, I pray as we walk within that, God, You said those who are watered will be, those who water will be watered. And God, I just pray that You would refresh their heart, and God, that You would just water their soul, Lord God. Father, I pray that You would touch Your people this morning, God. Refresh them. Encourage them, God. Father, we give you all the glory. God, everything that you have done in this church, everything that you're going to do in this church, God, we give you all the glory. And we thank you for it. And we love you this morning. With all of our heart, we love you this morning. Lord, we love you today. And God, the only reason why any of us are here today is, God, because of your love and your concern for people who are broken and hurting. Even the most functional life, God, if it's lost, if it doesn't have Christ, it is a broken life. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the eyes of men. God is fragmented. And Lord, you have saved us. And God, you are healing our hearts every day as we walk with you. And God, you're doing an awesome thing in our life. Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your kindness. God, I'm just asking again, Lord, that as we leave this place this morning, that God, you would just refresh your people. I thank you for touching hearts in this altar this morning. But God, I'm just praying that you would continue this week to refresh your people. And God, I know in my heart, God, amazingly, as we just make ourselves available, God, you are going to put people before us. People we may never seen before. God, they're going to be open. Want to be open, Lord, just to be ministered to by the kindness of Christ. And Father, we're asking the end result is that the goodness of God would lead people to repentance. That they would truly find Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, help us to get this, not to get discouraged if they don't. God, just help us to be faithful, to walk in this ministry of kindness. Showing the Lord's kindness. Now, Lord, we give you all glory and honor. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.